Hey, welcome to Razzle Dazzle, a podcast about video games and pop culture with an emphasis on our favorites.
All right, it's Razzle Dazzle time! We're your hosts, Jared and Patrick.
That's me.
That's our sound guy, Joe.
2025 is going to be my year.
That's our co-host, Tatum.
Hello!
And reintroducing, because she's been in hibernation for so long, Patience Cole, our digital media editor.
Hi.
That's no longer in the background. Welcome back.
Okay,
this was a surprise.
That's it. She's
it
gone.
Was.
Just a nice little hi, and she's gone. All right.
Cut her mic. Cut her mic.
All right, I'll just see myself out. I'm gonna go.
Oh my gosh.
So this is probably Delta episode number 37. Month of January. Happy New Year. What's been up? Are we gonna do a year in review like we said last month, or like what's the deal?
Oh yeah, I guess we could.
Yeah. Like not go through everything, but like I don't know what we want to do. Who wants to start?
I guess if I were to talk about 2023, I think I want to highlight just how much good everything we had.
Yeah.
With the exception of this giant month where there was a giant few months where there was a writer's strike. Then we got a lot of nothing good.
Oh, yeah.
But then after that and before that, so much good stuff. Like, I know personally, I have spent so much time playing Baldur's Gate, Game of the Year 2023. Amazing, beautiful.
It swept.
And Lethal Company, Steam's game to play with your friends of the year. Beautiful. Mwah. Expertly crafted. And that's just like two things. Let alone if you start like early. We always don't talk about the stuff earlier this year. I'm just talking purely games because that's what's on my mind right now. We got like Pikmin 4.
Yeah.
And like
you've been
the
playing that
Zelda
recently.
Game. Oh, a lot of it.
It's great, isn't it?
It's like it's a mix of like the chillest game where I don't have to use any brain power and I can just listen to something and hang out. And then suddenly it's like,
so
my gosh, everything I own is about to die.
Yep.
My people need me and I'm killing them on purpose. It sucks.
It's amazing. It's a great game.
Beautiful
I love
game.
It.
Beautiful
it's
game.
Beautiful. The soundtrack is great. The references are
That's
great.
It's so cute.
It's adorable. I love the new Pikmin too. I've been
Dogs.
Searching. Ochi? Yeah, man. It's a cool addition.
It makes it easier.
It makes it easier. It makes it easier to carry around all the Pikmin. I've been searching for a, they have this in Japan only, an ice mold of an ice Pikmin. And it's expensive and I want it.
So you're making like little Pikmin ice cubes for your drink?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
you
love
to have it.
I thought you meant like an ice statue and you're like, you're going to ship that internationally? Boy, you're going to get a puddle.
Gonna get a couple
like,
water.
Oh, this was once a Pikmin.
Not shipping the mold for the statue, shipping the actual ice statue itself.
It's just going to be a puddle of water with a little flower in it.
He's going to be like, yeah.
Homicide.
So like the only thing I want to highlight about the last year is just like how many bangers we got. I'm trying to think of TV shows, so if y'all can think of anything off the top of your heads, feel free. But movies wise as well,
movies,
we had fucking bangers.
Yep, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't Better Call Saul end this year? Or was that last year? Or 2022?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I feel like Better Call Saul got really
I think
really
last
popular.
Year. Because it got out on Netflix after.
Right. Mm.
It was done airing, I think.
We also got Saw 10.
2022.
Saw Patrol.
Very
the Paw
important.
Patrol,
very
Saw
important.
Crossover. The Five Nights at Freddy's movie. After
we got
like
Mario.
10 years.
We got the new TMNT.
Mario is
got
here.
Indiana
That's
Jones.
Wild.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Got a lot.
We got a lot
of
You know
movies.
What a movie was actually
Transformers?
Better? Transformers. Mm. What movie was actually
Spider-Verse?
Better than I expected? The Marvels.
I liked it.
It was, you know, it was better than I expected. It was,
yeah.
It did not follow through that typical, like, new Marvel just being lame and joking all the time. It actually had stakes.
I love the synergy between the three main protagonists, the three main Marvels.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, one of them's like older and like just serious about the job. The other one's like the middle ground. And then there's Kamala, who's like happy-go-lucky or whatever. You know, it's a nice mix of characters working
it
together.
It worked.
Yeah.
One of the Marvels is the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah, right. One of the Marvels is actually technically a Disney princess. So.
What?
Yeah, that was a weird scene.
It was weird.
What?
That entire.
Categorically. Yeah. Defines a Disney princess because like, a lot of Marvel superheroes get defined as I don't understand. Is it just because it's owned by Disney and it's a woman?
Yes.
So Disney princess?
No. It says, for starters, the character must play a central role in a Disney or Pixar film and must not be introduced in a sequel.
Oh.
At the same time, she must be royal by birth or marriage or do a heroic deed, as was the case with Mulan. So I think
Captain
fits.
Marvel's already out.
Why out?
Because she was referenced in Infinity War, the post-credits scene.
But okay. Does reference count as a sequel?
He hit that button that showed the Captain Marvel logo, referring to Captain Marvel, but we had never saw her before. So that's like a maybe.
Nah, because it said introduced in a sequel. That would be like in Spider-Man 2, Captain Marvel gets introduced, and then you're like, she's not a Disney princess.
Was Spider-Man introduced in Homecoming or in Civil War?
Civil War.
Right.
Ooh, Spider-Man isn't a Disney princess.
Don't tell Tom Holland.
Point B, I didn't know there was like whole ass definitions and all that for...
Because Leia recently became like an official Disney princess.
Is she royal though? Oh, yes. I guess she is Princess Leia.
But, you know, of nothing anymore.
You're like, oh, I guess it's in the name.
I like that. I like that Obi-Wan separated the twins. Like, Leia, you will go with senators. You'll basically be royalty. And Luke... You go with water farmers.
Yeah, but which one still has a planet?
Oh,
that's
wild. That was wild.
I was gonna say that it was a pretty optimal strategy because if you're thinking like I gotta find these two kids, you're not gonna think to check both the bums and the rich ass people. If you get a lead that it's the rich ass people, that's all you're gonna look, and then the kid in the bums is safe, aka Luke.
Yeah.
Whereas Leia's. Because it's pretty obvious who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you were to take one highlight of a piece of media this year that you're like...
CSRs.
This defined my consumption of 2023.
Of new stuff that came into 2023 new things we have experienced in 2023?
Things that were specifically released in 2023.
Sea of Stars.
Okay. Sea of Stars. Going back to old school RPG gaming.
But it's new.
See, for me, I'm on the complete opposite side of it. Where I'm on Baldur's Gate, I'm on new gen, highly innovative RPG.
Sure.
That completely revolutionizes the genre. And you're on like, remember that shit that we did, that they did 20 years ago? I'm doing that.
But better. Yeah.
And it's great. Fuck all that.
Listen, man, it's great. Also, have you started Chrono Trigger?
I have not.
Dude, okay.
I downloaded it.
I know. I saw. I was like, I got the notification.
It tells you?
Yeah, it tells me. Yeah, man.
I got a f***ing stalker.
Switch stalking you. I would say for me, not a particularly one thing, but just like trying new and different and artistic movies. Because I got that movie theater subscription thing, so I might as well see everything. And I saw some really interesting movies that I wouldn't see otherwise, like Anatomy of a Fall, a French movie. It's a classic murder mystery, and it's really good. I saw The Iron Claw, which is a sports movie about a wrestler family, and it's amazing. And I wouldn't have seen that if I didn't choose to, you know, expand my horizon beyond Star Wars, Marvel, and DC. Oh, God. The Flash came out this year. And so did Aquaman 2.
Baby in the microwave, bro.
Baby in the microwave.
They put the baby in the microwave in the Flash.
Ezra Miller, no!
Ezra Miller.
Get him out of there!
You know what also came out in 2023? Trolls 3.
Trolls 3.
Why did that movie have such a stacked cast? Somebody explain this to me.
I think the reason, why it hit so hard, and also because Wish and Trolls 3 came out around the same time, and I remember everyone comparing them because Wish... was awful.
It's terrible.
Wish, the villain song was... I remember someone made a TikTok and they were like, I'm going to see two movies today, Wish and Trolls 3. And Wish was the first one and they're like, cinema is dead. Movies are dead. Disney's awful. Then after Trolls 3 is like, cinema is alive and well.
Did anybody see that 100th anniversary like short?
Yes.
The Disney release?
Yes.
Okay.
It was so cute.
It was great. Tell me why. Thank you. They were singing, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star at the end. Tell me why Cinderella wasn't singing. Because that's her song. Well, why didn't she get a part in that? But the princess in Wish did. Like, I get why in Wish.
Oh,
because
really?
100-year anniversary and this whole entire movie is like, when you wish upon a star, no matter who you are, right? This movie is supposed to be the essence of that song for the 100-year anniversary or whatever. But Cinderella, even though that was her song in her movie, she didn't sing it.
Maybe
tell me why.
They were giving her a break.
Man.
Making way for the new media.
Man.
It's no matter who you
baby
are.
Baby girl, I don't know what to tell
Cinderella.
You.
Unless the song was specifically written for your movie.
Maybe it's like showing of Disney's moving away from holding on to its old school properties.
Maybe.
Like Steamboat Willie. Completely allowed to use that for whatever you want now. No more copyright on Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie style. So, like, maybe Disney's trying to really show that, like, our old stuff, sure, it's cool. That's not who we are anymore. We used to be a billion-dollar company. Now we are the biggest entertainment multi-billion-dollar company. So, like, Mickey Mouse? Pfft, got Marvel. That's what they're trying to say. We got Wish.
Didn't also the live-action Little Mermaid come out this year?
Oh, it sure did.
We
saw that.
It wasn't that memorable.
No.
I didn't see it because, remember, I didn't.
Right.
But, like, why are you saying, you said sorry like I died. Like, no.
Rest in peace.
So sorry. No, just, like, I remember all the stuff that came out about it, like, specifically with the makeup for Ursula. And how the controversy, how big it was, because her makeup was awful and horrendous. And they were like, we did that on purpose, because Ursula wouldn't know how to do makeup. And I was like, that's cap. That is the fattest cap I've ever heard in my life.
I feel like she would be the only mer person to know how to wear makeup.
Literally. She was based off of, that character was based off of a drag queen.
Okay, I think it's just a lazy.
I see where you're at now.
It was crazy town. I'm like, at least make the eyebrows sisters. Like, the eyebrows were like distant cousins. They were in different time zones. It made me so sad to look at. I was like, Melissa McCarthy, no!
I think it's just a lame excuse from, like, the PR department, just like with The Flash, so with all the CGI. It's like, oh no, it's supposed to be that
way. We did
that
on purpose.
We're totally not lazy. Like, bro.
We're Disney. We don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Literally. Exactly. I forgot that. Did any other live-action Disney movies come out this year?
I don't know.
Because I think The Lion King was the previous
year. Yeah, Lion King was a while ago.
And Mulan.
Which don't
was,
talk about it.
That was one of the worst things I've ever seen
it
in my
is
entire
terrible,
life.
Bro.
I've never seen it,
terrible.
But I just only heard bad things about it.
Yeah, don't ruin... Don't, if you love Mulan, don't ruin it by watching the live-action. You know, like, really...
Didn't they take out Mushu? And
yeah, Mushu's not there.
That's so stupid.
Not Mushu's not even there.
That's the like one of the best characters.
Yeah, of course. Eddie freaking Murphy? Yeah, man.
All right, so we continue around the circle, Tatum. Top... of 2023 media consumption. I ate the shit out of this thing.
It's hard because I really don't consume that much media. Because, like, a lot of what I consumed this year wasn't made in 2023. So it's kind of hard. Like, I watched a lot of, like, found footage movies and stuff like that, which are from 10, 20 years ago. So, like, I didn't really watch. I would say the biggest piece of media I consumed was the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Also Barbie. I did watch Barbie. I have not watched Oppenheimer yet, but I wouldn't say there's a specific piece of media from 2023 that I was like, oh my god, this changed who it was as a person. It's happened before where I've walked out of the movie theaters being like, I need to change my personality now, or like something like that. That didn't really happen with any of the movies I watched this year. I was just kind of like, oh, this was a powerful movie. It was important. I really liked it. Period. I'm gonna go home and go sleep. Like, that's all it was. Like, I walked out of Jurassic World in like 2019, I think, being like, I'm a new man. But like, I didn't do that with the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Literally, I was like crying at that movie. Yeah. I'm gonna be blue. But yeah, that didn't happen. And then it was just like a little bit disappointed with the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. I was a bit sad, yeah. But there was no meat it, because I also don't play games very much either.
Yeah.
But I will say, I did play Lethal Company.
Yeah.
And I became a little iPad kid. Because the first night I played it, I stayed up until like 4 or 5 a.m. playing it. I was like, I need to put this down. And I have not picked it up since, because I will play it a lot.
We played
and I'll
once.
Go crazy. Dude, I'll go crazy. I felt the iPad kid energy like running through my veins. I was like, I need to stop. I need to put this down right now.
I remember when we were playing, and there was this moment where me and you were arguing about some shit. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was about making a jump. And I was like, I make these jumps all the time.
He's
I'm like the best
making
jumps. And you were like, okay, go make the jump. And I was like, see, you literally just sprint here and then I fall and die.
Oh, I will say, actually, there was a piece of media that heavily affected me. Melanie Martinez released her Portals album, or their Portals album, in 2023. Oh my god. Oh my god. Shaking, crying, eating my pants. Like, that's insane. And I think Sleep Token, did they release their...
Yeah, that was 2023.
That was 2023. Huh. They're dropping North American tickets next week.
Anywho. Melanie Martinez Portals song that I really liked was Evil.
Evil is good.
Nymphology is good.
So good.
Nothing else really stood out to me, but I was into from that album in particular. But Sleep Token, all of its stuff is awesome.
Oh my
it's
god.
So
but I can't really
good.
Differentiate it. Like different
really?
Albums.
What?
Oh, you know? I kind of know what you mean. Like sometimes the albums for me blend together. I'm like
a little bit. But I'm not complaining by any means.
I like that they've kind of kept a consistent style, but then I also like Melanie Martinez on the other hand, where every single album has a story and a fully fleshed out concept, and they're all Melanie Martinez uses similar melodies and rhythms and harmonies from previous songs in her later songs, and oh my gosh, it's so cool the amount of work that they put into their songs, and I think I've been a fan of them since like the sixth grade, so that's why it had such like a heavy effect on me, they're coming out with the new album. So I'm really excited to see them in concert. I'm geeking a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm tweaking. But yeah, that
I feel the same with Sleep Token because I've decided there's a New York show and I just reconnected with a friend of mine from New York. And he was like, yo, anytime you want to just crash on my couch, feel free. And I was like, I'm watching Sleep Token.
Wild. They have a Florida show coming up.
Why?
It's going to be May 6th. It goes Florida May 6th, Atlanta, Georgia May 7th.
Ain't no way I'm watching Sleep Token twice in the same month.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to the Georgia. Depends how much tickets.
Big fan.
Dude, it's so good.
Tickets be tickets.
You wouldn't bankrupt yourself for a chance to see them twice? Oh, you're a poser.
Big fat phony. Yeah.
I would say music has had the biggest effect on me in 2023. Not so much movies or anything like that. It would be music.
Yeah, I also don't think I consumed a lot of new media. I'm not going to lie, I didn't see Barbenheimer. I haven't seen either of them yet at all.
Fair.
But I did go see the Eras Tour, though. Which I know we're all tired of Taylor Swift, unless you're me. But it was actually really good. It was really, really nice. I painted all of the album cover names on the back of a jean jacket.
Oh, that's really cute.
I had a sparkly shirt. I had fishnets. I was ready.
You basically put like the Barbie like fit thing.
It was everything I hope and dreamed that the Eras Tour was going to be. You know, there's very few concerts I feel that I've been to that there's been that sense of community in a crowd. I went by myself. I didn't go with anybody. And I was sitting between this wonderful, like, ladies in their 40s on one side that did share their wine with me because they're phenomenal. I am of the drinking age, though. I had two on the other side. I never met them. I still talk to the two girls that were sitting on my left from the Eras Tour. And I don't think you realize, like, how much media you've consumed of an artist until they play the majority of their entire repertoire. Because I did not know a single song. And it takes you back to different points in your lifetime where you're like, I remember listening to that in middle school after my first breakup. Or I remember listening to that, like, after I got an A on a test. Or hanging out with my friends. Or going to a karaoke bar for the first time. No, I went to that and I went and saw Noah Kahan as well. Which was really good. He's definitely more of an acoustic, folksy guy, but I like his music because I feel like a lot of music written today doesn't have a lot of substance behind it. It's just kind of words, it's noise, whatever is popular at the time is what they're going to put in there. But he writes for people that want to feel something, and I think it's big because it's written for people that don't want to feel happy a lot of the time. Sometimes you need to sit there with a sad song and just have it be like, yeah, life sucks. You need to listen to a sad song and just feel sad for like 3 minutes.
That's real.
Sad song playlists are powerful.
Sad song playlists are very powerful. So he was phenomenal, and he's by far the most humble artist I have ever seen. Like, he walked out on the stage and he looked at me and he's like, there's a lot of you here.
Oh,
I didn't think there was going to be that many people here. And we sang so loud you could hear it like reverberating off of his mic back out. And he literally looked like he was going to cry. He's like, I really didn't think anybody was ever going to want to
That's
come
so
see
cute.
Me as a performer. And so That was very, it was a very good experience. I went with some new friends that I made this year at my new job because, but no, I spent most of last year working, honestly. I worked like 5 or 6 different jobs, most of them at the same time because I'm psychotic. But yeah, and then I feel like I consumed older media. Like, I think I played catch up this year on stuff that everyone's been like, you need to watch this. And I was like, well, yeah, like Schitt's Creek. I had never seen Schitt's Creek before. Until last year. If you had not seen Schitt's Creek, you need to go see Schitt's Creek right after this, because it is a phenomenal story, and it's, there's so much underlay in it that you don't think about, because like you watch sitcoms and they're all kind of the same, it's kind of a joke, but this is sort of like almost an ideal-ish world when it comes to the people living in it. Like LGBTQ representation in TV shows is kind of very in your face sometimes, which is fine. It's their time to shine after like not being there at all. But they're the main character, like one of them, David, he goes through a couple guys, he falls in love on the show, and not a single other character ever questions the fact that he's gay. There's no big needing to come out scene.
It's not like just a plot point of
No.
It's just like, oh, it happens.
He's just like, you know, like, this is my boyfriend. And everyone's just like, oh, okay, cool. Let's go on with our lives and not make this huge. And there's a whole scene at the start where he's talking about how he's actually pansexual. It's the wine bottle scene, which I really love, where he's explaining, because him and his friend are talking, and she's like, so I like red wine. Talking about guys. I thought you were into red wine. So what do you, and he's like, oh, well, sometimes I like a red wine, sometimes I like a Chardonnay, sometimes I like a beer, and you know, I've had a red wine that used to be a white wine. I like the wine, not the label. It's a beautiful way to explain it, especially as someone that grew up as a queer person in a culture where there like wasn't anyone to be that role model for me and no one to kind of explain to me how do I say this to people in a way that will make sense to them. It was a great analogy. So it will make you laugh. It will make you cry. I have sobbed many times over Schitt's Creek. So it's just one of those shows I think everybody needs to watch at least once.
So we talk about shows this year that like stood out to us, shows, movies, music, all that. Great year for movies. Great years for shows. Also, terrible year for movies, terrible year for shows, terrible years for video games. So one last little roundabout of the table, I want to get into the worst. I want to get into that thing that you grabbed that you were like, this is the shit, and then you actually looked at it and were like, ah.
I am between all of those terrible games that came out, Golem, King Kong, The Walking Dead, and also that newest Exorcist movie, The Exorcist Revival. So boring.
Really?
Like, I expected it to be something, but it was not.
Tatum was doing research after that one.
No, not about that. I'm trying to see if there was this one movie I watched that I thought was really bad. Oh yeah, it did come out in 2023. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, it's just something, it's the things that have nothing to them. Like if you go into those Golem games, it's just running and jumping. And the same with that King Kong game. And The Walking Dead, it's just lazy. And like games like Redfall, there's just nothing, there's no effort into it. If there's something, if somebody puts effort into it and it's clear, then I could find a passion for it. I can understand, okay, maybe this went wrong because of X, Y, and Z. But when that, even that's not there, I'm just angry.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that with games.
Upset.
Even games that, like, have no reason to be bad that were bad, like Starfield. That has, like, $1 million budget, and then they just make the RPG game where it's the most basic RPG that looks like... That's just basically Bethesda 2010 keep being carried all the way over to... even before that. Bethesda was better in 2010 than they are now. Yeah, it's pretty irritating. I'm there with you with the Castlevania show, the new one. Because you had the original Castlevania,
ran
4 seasons. Phenomenal show. The writing, the animation, the fights, everything about it. We did an episode. You can check it out. But then this new version of the show comes out, because it goes through 4 seasons and it wraps up. And they're like, well, people want more Castlevania. We're going to bring in his grandson. It's gonna be sick.
Everyone's Richter.
Like, Richter.
In an actual staple Belmont in one of the greatest Castlevania games of all time.
And so everybody gets hyped. And then what I believe happened the writer strike happens and AI writing booms. Because what this show is exposition dump, exposition dump, exposition dump, fight. Exposition dump, exposition dump, exposition dump, fight. I was talking to my friend he's an animator in New York, because I talked to him about like how much the show bothered me, and he was like, he didn't understand because he hadn't watched the show, but he had seen all the animation to come out from the show and was like, this show looks great.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting here like, this is the worst show that Netflix ever released, and it disappointed everyone. He's like, are we talking about the same show?
It looks great.
It looks beautiful.
I started it.
It is not.
Yeah, I started it in October. Haven't finished it. I guess it just hasn't, you know, grabbed me for a reason.
So the reason why I watched the show, I wasn't going to. I was like, yeah. I'm satisfied with my Castlevania consumption. And I had a friend hit me up on Discord being like, please tell me what I'm seeing is real. And I was like, oh no. And that's when I watched the show.
Yeah.
And we literally just spent like an hour on Discord just talking to each other about how awful everything was. Man, a lot of exposition. That's my main problem with it.
Mm.
It's like every scene is just, let me tell you the lore again, but more.
I think for me, the Pokemon DLC, the Teal Mask and the Indigo Disc.
Can we just say Pokemon?
It didn't have a great year.
Didn't have a great year. My biggest issue is, like, I don't know. I think these DLC packs made it more apparent of all the issues that are obviously there. Like, base game, there's all the issues, but I'm like, you know, it's fine. But I think with the Teal Mask specifically, that DLC, I absolutely don't like. The new legendaries are lame. You know, the island, like, I love the aesthetic of like Japan mask, geese or robes or all that stuff. I'm into like the festivals, great. Like the setting is cool, but I think it's just underutilized. You know, there's not that much to do there. Like the only cool thing about the Teal Mask DLC was the side quest of taking pictures of Pokemon to eventually get that new Blood Moon Ursaluna. Or whatever.
Freddy Fazbearmon.
Yeah, that's a good looking Pokemon, you know? That looks awesome. But everything else just sucks. It's like the story is not fun. Like, you know, you and this new friend are chasing after these legendary Pokemons, and the main one, Ogerpon, he has like some weird infatuation with it, and he wants to catch it. Okay. It doesn't want to be with him. It wants to be your Pokemon. And then he gets all mad and butthurt and becomes the villain in, like, the next DLC, which is better. It's weird. It's dumb. I don't like it. That's it.
I hear you. I've been there with Pokemon for years.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you can finally join me.
It's catching up.
Well, I mean, I like everything else about the game, about Pokemon, you know? Like, I love, like, going through the Teal Mask really, like, let me see, like, the potential it had. The Pokemon themselves, they look great, like up close, right? You can see the textures, you can see the new animations, you can see like there's something here. But the Game Freak, the Pokemon company, didn't, you know, they didn't take their time with it. If they just left it in the oven for another year or so, they had a year to spare because we had Arceus the same year when it first came out. It would have been fine.
That's it. For me, really quick, I'm going to touch on an amazing media that I forgot to mention, Bluey, the TV show.
Oh my gosh,
let that be known. That was an amazing creation that I'm very, very happy we got. I'm double checking what year. Was Security Breach? Five Nights at Freddy's 2023?
I believe that was 2021.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
The second one came out.
It wasn't
going to
be a bad media thing. Okay. I was just, oh my gosh, wait, you're right. For some reason, it wasn't going to be one of my bad medias. I was just like,
what year was it?
That I watched that I was really disappointed in was Conjuring the Red Door. It's the, I believe, fourth movie in the Conjuring series.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. It was so incredibly bad. And I don't know if it's because the first few movies, they get a little excuse because they were made mid-2000s, early 2000s. So it's like, oh, these camera angles, this color grading, it's given a lot more leeway because it's an older movie, but they kept that same style now and it just doesn't look good. It looks so bad. And it's like the same exact story and just the scares weren't really good, and I was just like, Patrick Wilson, no! No! It just wasn't... It wasn't giving. It was not serving. There were so many crumbs left.
But did it eat?
It didn't eat. It Whoa. Starved. It was so sad. Like, y'all have heard my opinion on the Five Nights at Freddy's movie as well. Let it be known. We all know my thoughts on it. I didn't think it was great, obviously. But I wouldn't say it was the worst. I think the worst movie, to my knowledge that I can remember, would be Conjuring the Red Door. Just sad. Sad year for horror movies, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of I would love to see more indie horror films, see if they were better in that vein. But as you said, like the Nun movie, what's up?
Is it The Conjuring Red Door or is it Insidious the Red Door?
Maybe Insidious. Sorry.
No, you're good.
They all blend together in my mind.
I was trying to look
up the ratings.
You're
right.
You're right.
It's Insidious. Sorry, y'all. Just dub me going Insidious over every single time I say Conjuring. Yeah, I get that Sinister and Conjuring mixed up all the time. Insidious the Red Door. You're right. But yeah, it just was not swell. I didn't like it very much. Made my little heart very sad.
Horror movies suffer a lot from over-sequelization.
It's not even like, sometimes sequels
Insidious
aren't good.
From
it's,
that.
Yeah. It's just also like, they're like, oh, they like the first one, so let's just do the same story. And it's like no, that's
all the paranormal
that's
activities,
not what we,
for sure.
I kind of ate the Paranormal Activities up. I can't even lie though. Kills are freaky, but. Yeah. It's just like, we like it. We love Patrick Wilson, but it was just the same story. And I just, not good. It was like, guess what? The same villain is back. And it's like, we don't want that. We want something bigger and more scary. Like, that's the whole point. Yeah, it was just weird. And then they tried making the teenage son also be like, shut up, Dad. I don't love you. Oh, and he has long hair.
Face.
And he goes to art school. And he draws dark art all the time. He's like, Dad, shut up.
Wait, the kid that was drawing the ghost in the first movie is just doing the same thing, but as an angsty teenager?
Yeah, but now he goes to art school. That's where they went wrong.
He's better at drawing
literally,
the ghost.
Okay. He could have been an amazing artist, but literally they make it. It was just so, I'm like, you're trying to make this kid seem so edgy. And he's a good actor, but I was like, bro, not art school. It's so funny to me. Like, they're driving in the car, and he's like, Patrick Wilson's like, how's your day? And the kid's like, I'm like drawing with charcoal in his sketch pad. I'm like, bro, this cannot be real right now.
Why would you use charcoal in the car? He's gonna make a mess in that backseat.
All
that's why your dad's
charcoal.
Mad that you went to art school.
Literally,
not because you went to art school, but because you're making a damn mess.
Literally,
everywhere
all
charcoal.
His drawings are charcoal. I'm like, baby girl, That would. Mm-mm.
You must be sitting outside with a tarp under your feet. Don't get
Literally,
that in my
I'm like,
grass.
I know your hands would be getting charcoal everywhere all over that car. That's why Patrick Wilson's mad, bro, because you're getting charcoal all over the damn leather seats. But yeah, enough about that movie. That, I would say, and I watched it like literally probably like 2 weeks ago, or like whenever the very tail end of 2020, even maybe beginning of 2024, I was like, this is ass. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
So, I feel like I was disappointed with a lot of the animated Disney Pixar movies, which I was excited because the year before that, Encanto hyped up Disney to be on a great trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows my thought on Encanto.
You should go listen to our episode on Encanto. It was
pretty
really
good.
Good.
Episode, pretty good episode.
But so first Elemental came out, and here's the thing. I know people really, really like that movie. I feel like the animation style and the amount of chaos going on in every scene looks like all of the animators were on acid and not in a good way.
That's right.
I
forgot about it.
I haven't
what?
Seen that.
I don't understand where you're going with this.
No, it just, I didn't like it. There was so much going on. It was so bright. I sound like an old person. It was so bright and so loud.
There were so many noises and sounds.
So many characters talking
this
at once.
This one was made of fire and I don't understand.
But like, and it couldn't keep my attention. I got like 20 minutes in. I'm like, I feel like I need to like go become like destimulated for like 10 minutes and then come back. But I'm going to forget what happened because none of this is interesting in the slightest.
Damn, really?
I didn't like
it. I fucking cried at that movie.
I did
what?
Not. I'm like breaking Patrick's heart right now. I'll do it again and again.
Crying
not
your wimp.
Good.
Then again, it is a movie that I feel like took my life and was like, You're not the only one going through this kind of shit.
Oh.
Literally, immigrant parent with business coming in to try to make it on his own, and part of you is being pushed to follow. It was a great movie. I ain't gonna take any shit.
You don't need to. We can have separate opinions. I feel like this is Encanto, and I was like, this was amazing. This is my life. And everyone was like, it's okay. And I'm like, what do you mean? Generational trauma?
You are not the only one.
You need to go to therapy.
It was you, me, Giselle. We were all feeling it. And Patrick. We were all feeling it.
For it was Encanto. Good.
It was all of us except Joe.
Like other adults. Because you're white. Loser.
He was like, damn, I am white. I saw that.
I'm what? Why didn't you tell me?
What did you think you were?
Joe!
He just never looked at his hand before.
He always says he's Italian and thinks
Joe
that means
White.
Something.
Anyways, so you think the previous years set up Disney for great success, but they did not follow through.
And then they brought out Wish, and the villain song sounds like AI wrote it, and they just put music behind it and said, half the lyrics are exactly the same.
But was it?
But it'd be fine.
Do we have any confirmation about that?
I'm not saying that it was actually AI written. It
sounds
AI, like it's AI
Disney
written.
Disney has admitted to using AI recently. I don't know
say?
To what depth, but
there's a line where he's like, I let you live here for free and I don't even charge you rent. I'm like, that
is
the same thing, bro.
Vent.
Move on. What is your next
I really
point?
Thought about those lyrics what as I was walking out of Publix yesterday and it made me mad.
It's like upsetting.
Because in my head was the Trolls 3.
I'm Troll Smack.
Forever. And I was like, ooh. And then the little 12-year-old boy in my head was like, Fish. And I was like,
no.
And I got so mad.
Here's a terrible thing, and you just squished the pub sub in your hand.
That's what happened.
You're so angry.
I dropped my groceries on the ground and ran them over because it was so bad.
So,
no, I agree. It was just bad.
She said, I'd rather starve and die than have to think of this movie again.
What I just found by a quick Google search, Julia Michaels talks about what it was like to become the youngest female songwriter to write songs for Disney Wish, how she would feel if she were to receive an Oscar nomination, how her anxiety is her power, how she approaches
who's gonna
for
tell her?
Other artists
who's
like
gonna tell her?
Blah, blah, blah.
I am killing everyone's dreams today with what I hated.
It just shouldn't have gotten approved. Someone should have been like, baby girl, no.
Have an editor.
It needs to be evil.
Have an editor. Have her write it and then have mentors be like, okay, let's take your writing and let's push it. Because that movie had so much potential to be phenomenal. Mm. The lyrics had potential to be better. I feel like she needed a mentor to come and be like, let's fix that, baby. I'm not going to tell you it sucks, but that
just
cause sucks.
It's not even I feel like sometimes you could take the lyrics and just switch the instrumental too and maybe it would have
been
better. But it just read so happy.
It
read it whiny.
It
was whiny.
It read, I'm a nice guy.
Oh my god, stop.
No one likes a nice guy.
Did.
That is how it read.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
like,
right. No one
I
likes
I want,
you.
The Princess and the Frog villain. I want that kind of
music. I need
music.
Be prepared. I need the
it's
green
Disney.
Smoke
I
to come back to Disney
a
for the villain song.
I don't want straight up my kid to watch a Disney movie and be like, male manipulator. No.
Yippee.
No. If you watch a Disney movie, you should be like, yeah, that is the villain. Weird. Wackadoodle.
Craziness. But yeah, no. Disappointment in Disney was just my disappointment last year. I was like, come on, guys. I just needed one really, really good animated film, and I didn't get it. Now I'm sad.
Hopefully this next year is better.
It better be good, or I'm going to just cry for the rest of time about Disney.
Was Elemental this year, though?
Elemental was in June.
Sure was.
Oh.
I will say.
I googled it before I brought it up, Patrick.
I watched it in November, so.
I will say I wish more Disney movies had the edginess of Trolls.
Right?
I feel like Trolls, they just
I
got
love
unhinged
Trolls, honestly.
With the writing.
My nephews love Trolls, and I'll sit there and I'm like, yes, let's watch Trolls for the 8th time in a row today.
I love
DreamWorks
the
is on
edginess.
Sorry.
No, I just love the
DreamWorks always been on it, though.
Yeah.
We were
Puss
sleeping on DreamWorks.
Shrek?
This year. That was
bro,
year.
Shrek
Puss
is
and
iconic.
Was this year?
Sure was.
Really? That was an amazing
sure
movie.
Was.
Oh, yeah.
I love the animation, the mixing of the... Oh, it was so... It made my little baby Coco Mello brain.
I remember
Coco
seeing.
Brain go wild.
I remember seeing the trailer and getting chills, with the whole wolf dude.
With his hair standing up.
I remember you hear the little whistle and they set it up perfectly.
I can't whistle.
And I'm just sitting
bro,
there
ascending in my chair. I watched that on the airplane, and I was so, like, tunnel-visioned watching that movie. It was so good.
If you watch a good movie on an airplane, it hits.
It's a, yeah.
Like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I watched on my trip to Japan, and I talked about it in our episode. I'm literally, like, crying in my seat, just like, what the fuck is this story?
You call the attendant over to the gates of Disney. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, he must have gotten really bad news. And no, it's just Ki-Hee Kwan doing kung fu on the camera.
She looks over, it's like the hot dog fingers thing. She's like, oh my god. She opens the emergency.
I heard somebody talk about it recently where it's like this movie that takes in perfect account how silliness and seriousness are like the same in a way, where like the most profound shit is also so fucking dumb. Like you can get you can make tons of stupid jokes about stoicism, but stoicism is also like a line of philosophy that a lot of people hold their lives to and become better people with, but it's also silly. And so Everything Everywhere All at Once just takes that and makes it a movie when it comes to nihilism.
If the characters believe in it, then it works.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. I know it didn't come out this year, but that was my, like, biggest movie of this year. And it only came out, like, the year before, so it's not like I'm crazy behind.
Superhero fatigue got me this year.
Really?
It got me in the sense that I tried watching Thor 4, Love and Thunder, and it was that same thing that you were just talking about. It was so bad. The characters didn't believe in the stakes, so I couldn't either.
I felt that way with...
Incorrect.
Okay, the
scene of Blue Beetle.
I love that movie.
The scene where I was out is when Gore and his people are invading New Asgard, right? Or Valkyrie's place, and they're kidnapping the children, but Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, and Tessa Thompson were all making jokes. And the rock guy, Takiti, voiced by the director himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was making jokes. And a bunch of children were kidnapped by a mass alien murderer.
Listen.
And they didn't take it seriously, so why would I take it
they
seriously?
They did take it seriously. It was supposed to be a lighter take on a superhero movie, and I know that's why a lot of people don't like it, because it wasn't as heavy and it was a little goofy. But if you get to the end, like, it's very heartwarming and very gut-wrenching. Like, this was not meant to be strictly a superhero movie. This was supposed to be more about the feelings with Thor and lovely Lady Thor and everything happening with that and how that movie ended. It wasn't necessarily really supposed to be about the villain and the battle and getting the children back. It was more of the underlining storyline.
You can have silly and it being a good movie like The Guardians and Ragnarok, but I think this one took it a bit too far.
Maybe I'll give it another chance because of you, patience. Maybe if you say the ending was worth it, maybe I'll just,
did
like, grit my teeth.
Did you not finish it?
I did not. I was out by that scene.
Wow. Okay, then your credibility, like, lowers by, like, 5.
Do you see the
just 5.
The child soldier scene? That part got me.
That was insane.
That warmed your heart? I was
too
laughing.
Silly.
That was
I
too
loved
silly.
It.
It's
I
like,
it was great.
Man, how are we going to beat the big bad? Give weapons to the children.
Yes, you gotta teach them to fight
all
for themselves.
All the kids have the powers of Thor.
They
okay.
do. Let them live. And then the way it ends, I feel like I'm gonna spoil it with how it ends, but I don't know if Joe wants to. Are you actually gonna watch this?
If I re-get Disney Plus.
So what I'm hearing is I can spoil the ending and it'll be fine. But
it
like
is,
at the end,
beautiful, that
when is. She dies, and then the dad, who's been fighting the whole time to bring his daughter back to life, dies, and Thor decides he's going to take in this child whose dad was trying to kill him the whole movie and raise her to be a little superhero. Y'all telling me that didn't warm your heart and also make you cry a little bit?
Yes.
I did not see it. Oh my gosh.
It didn't make me cry. Maybe be like, oh, that's a nice little ending.
Same.
But I'm still thinking about
it
the child soldiers.
It made me cry. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, you can't have a scene with child soldiers and then immediately go into that.
You can.
You can.
They did it.
Because
but they
I
did.
Will be constantly thinking about
Temple
the child
of Doom. They were slaves, but.
Oh my god.
That's Temple of Doom is my favorite. Sorry, you were saying
that's
something
great.
About Blue Beetle.
Superhero fatigue. I watched Blue Beetle and I was like, yeah, I'm done with superhero movies. Like, Blue Beetle was the one that I should have been like, ah, my superhero movie, a my Brazilian.
People. Yeah.
Nah. It's just, like, another superhero movie, and, like, the main character, to me, is very unlikable.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
I'm biased.
I think it warms.
Yeah, we love Zolo.
I think he's
hot. Sexy.
That I understand.
Cobra Kai.
Sure. What
is Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
That I understand. I won't take that away from all of you. But as someone
and Bruana, bro?
And George Lopez.
Bruana, the Brazilian? The female lead? Bro.
Oh, I understand. I'm
George Lopez.
It's DC. They got money to bring in the hottest people if they want to, right?
You know, like George Clooney.
Hey, yo. Hold up.
My point is just, like, I could not stand him and how he interacted with everything going on. It took him so long to finally accept what was going on. And realize, like, oh, people around me are killing each other. Maybe I should. He's just so. He's such a baby. He's
an
a
ancient
baby.
Creature crawled what? In his booty hole and took over his body, dude.
How would you
what
react?
What do you mean? His father had a heart attack. Oh my god. Yeah, it took him a while. He was dealing with his own stuff.
All of this was happening.
If Jeff Bezos was trying to murder your fam, if you got an alien bug crawled up your bum. And evil Jeff Bezos was after your entire family and killed your dad. Would you be right there?
Within the span of 3 days.
I'm built different, so I actually wouldn't care.
I would be killing motherfuckers like a controversial figure.
White boy magic.
No. I think every Latino who gets the Blue Beetle suit isn't going like, oh, I can't kill anybody. I think they're like, you just f*** with me? You just
you have to think about his background.
Wiping that motherfucker.
You have to think about his background, though.
The kid's like super
this, like,
lived up in Mexico
student.
City.
Dude, it's like, oh my god.
I don't understand why he's so
you're mad he
like,
wasn't
baby.
A ruthless killer?
No, I'm mad that it took him so long to realize the stakes. Because the entire he is getting his ass handed to him, and he's like, I can't, I'm not gonna hurt you, man, I'm not gonna hurt you. BAM! He gets slammed through a door, and I'm like, yeah, it's slammed through a car, and I'm like,
but
yeah,
then
sure,
it makes
sure.
The breaking point even better, because if he realized it sooner, then that breaking point where he actually does want to kill the guy, and the suit is what stopped him, like, if he had this white boy magic the whole time, like, punching holes and everything, then he was like, I want to kill this dude, we'd be like, yeah, that checks.
Sure, it works for the story they're telling. I think it's a stupid story.
You don't think it's realistic?
Not that it's
dude,
realistic.
Dude, all this happened within
but
the span
like,
of 3 days.
I've seen this story already. Oh, man, I can't kill him. Oh, I'm so mad I'm finally going to kill him. But we're not going to let you. I've seen that.
It's a superhero movie.
So?
What do you expect, bro?
I know. But that's
Spider-Man
what I'm saying.
Goes through
superhero
the same
fatigue.
Thing.
This main character, lame. Everybody else treating this very comically to the point where I'm like, okay, it's kind of camp. But I can't take the stakes of the movie seriously because grandma's got a minigun.
Okay,
like,
true.
Come on.
I didn't
but she's
like
used
the writing
to this.
Of it very much.
Oh,
I
love the grandma. I love the idea that you just never really realized that your grandma was a revolutionary.
Yeah.
Because totally, there are probably like 1 in 10 American Latinos whose grandmas
that's,
were like trying to flip their country.
That's literally both of my no grandparents.
Idea. Really?
Both of my grandpas, yeah.
Yeah, see, so that's what, like, I love her. But do I think she doesn't fit in? She fits in the story because of how camp it is, but the story that's being told isn't camp. Like, the scenario they're in is not camp, but the characters are.
The thing is, you're like, it took Zolo so long to realize his potential. But then it also took the grandma so long to reveal she's like this freaking revolutionary thing. So, like, yeah. Wouldn't she, like, pull that out at the beginning then? You're
sure, but the grandma's the main character. If I'm going
to
critique a movie, I'm not going to start with the side character.
So extra 4-7 in scene 91B? Terrible.
I'm just saying, you're the like, the grandma was so good. I loved her.
I found her hilarious. Do I think, if she was removed from the movie, I'd still have the same take on the movie.
I didn't like the writing of it.
Yeah.
I did not like, because, like, they made the daughter like this. She was like, oh, I don't like anything. I'm gonna tell him. Like, I was like, that I hate that.
She was a very unlikable character.
It was such a cop out because, like, I feel like females have it. Tatum feminist. Like females sometimes have it hard, especially in superhero movies. So then it was such a cop out to be like, oh, the sister is the one being like, all edgy, like, no, no, no. It's like it just gave people another reason to dislike the female character, and it made me really sad for her. Because I'm like, that's such a cop out.
You know what I think would have been an amazing Blue Beetle movie? Give the Blue Beetle scarab to his uncle.
To George Lopez.
That movie would fucking destroy box offices.
I didn't think it would be possible for George Lopez to be in more of the Blue Beetle movie.
Should have called it George Lopez and the Blue Beetle.
That's literally what it was.
Yeah. George Lopez is just a dad figure. There's the dad, and then they kill him like halfway through the movie. And then, sorry, spoilers.
What?
But then, like, I guess we already spoiled it.
Yeah, you.
But then, like, and then his uncle is just consistently this, like, the father figure. And I'm like, you know what? I understand Latino family, so fair. But at the same time, it's like they really were just like, dad gone, uncle's third. That fast.
I think Blue Beetle worked because it didn't deviate too far from the superhero, like, formula. And I think they did everything right, but didn't stick with you.
It's a great superhero movie.
They have all the
tropes. But I have superhero fatigue.
Okay.
That's fair. There's too many superhero movies that follow this same trope. And I think Blue Beetle by itself, making a movie about Blue Beetle specifically, was a risk in and of itself. So if they deviated from it, people would not like it even more. Because we've never seen a piece of media this big with Blue Beetle. So, like, if they deviated from it, I feel like it would either be like, people absolutely love it or no one watches it.
Yeah.
They deviated from the method or formula that everyone likes.
Blue Beetle was already a small superhero character, very small superhero in DC Comics already. Even, you know, with the decades of history behind him with Dan Garrett, then Ted Kord. Not that well known, especially Jaime Reyes. So, like, I understand why they went with the, you know, stereotypical superhero movie script story or whatever. I loved it. All of my thoughts and opinions on it was on our Blue Beetle episode, so I'm not gonna repeat myself.
How many times have we plugged our own stuff?
It's a year in review.
I will say
yes, but we reviewed two episodes from 2021.
So,
listen. Real. Okay. I didn't like the CGI in the movie though.
I watched Blue Beetle this year. That's why I'm talking about it.
It came out this year, did it? Or
2023? HBO this year. Hmm? But was Blue Beetle this year?
Yeah.
Oh right, because I was in Brazil.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I texted you about it. Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't here because I was in Brazil. So Blue Beetle episode part two here on the Delta.
I think I also liked it so much because I don't watch a lot of superhero movies.
Yeah.
So maybe I
you don't
was,
have the
like,
fatigue.
Yeah, I'm not as like I know it's the same storyline because like I follow with the movies even though I don't watch them. Like I see clips and I like know like the vague storylines of all of them, but I'm not like in them. But at the same time, I'm not a fan of the writing. I don't know it. Irks me, caters my tots, grinds my gears.
That's fine.
Do you guys have something this year that you're like, that's coming out 2024, that you're like, oh my gosh. We talked Sleep Token concerts already.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Joker 2.
They're making a second?
Yeah, it's a musical with Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix.
What the heck?
You didn't know about that?
No, I didn't know this at all.
I'm so excited to cosplay Lady Gaga and Joker 2.
For me? I've been, like, every single time there is a teaser or anything, I've never been this excited for a show in a long time, Arcane Season 2. Oh my gosh. I see a teaser and I'm like, that hits hard. And then I see another teaser and I'm like, what the f***? There's the teaser with the werewolf dude, the Warwick, whatever his name, and there's just this dude chilling, looking up. And like, what is he looking up at? And it paces so slowly. He's just looking up. You hear these chains dangling. And then suddenly he just cuts over the shot of this giant, like, furred up arm with claws. And you're like, what? That's not what this show is. And this full giant, like, twice the size of a person werewolf just sitting there. And you're like, I thought this show was a, like, political sci-fi-esque sci-fi fantasy. Why is there a werewolf now? So part of me is like, oh, but part of me is also like, because I know how good these writers are, I'm like, what? How does this play into everything?
They're cooking something.
They're cooking something.
There's, oh my god, Twisters. from the 1990 like movie Twister.
They're bringing
back Twister.
Oh,
that's crazy.
God.
That's like one of the original disaster movies.
That's gonna be really.
Have you guys ever
been
to like the Universal ride for it or whatever?
Yes.
Or it's literally just a room where things fall apart.
Yeah.
I was
my
4 years old when I
was
went on that for the first time, and it traumatized me.
Really?
Oh.
Yep. I still have a fear of storms to this day.
Oh,
bro,
I remember me and my brother.
I'm
excited.
Beetlejuice 2.
Me and my brother found that thing lame because we were roller coaster kids. And we went into that little Twister thing, and they kind of like shake the floor a little bit, blow some wind in you, and things fall. And we were like, "Yeah, we're not doing that again."
Were you
right?
Four?
I don't know.
The stranger.
You were probably not
young.
Four.
We were very young. What I'm saying is, you were a pussy.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well, if you're gonna say it, say it to my face.
I just did.
Whoa.
Guys, Strangers Chapter 1 is coming out from the movie Strangers. The Because You Were Home. It's a horror movie.
Oh.
It's the movie where, like, they torture this couple. I haven't seen the full thing yet, but, like, they torture this couple, and the couple's like, why are you doing this? And they say, because you were home. And it's, like, a really good...
It's hard.
Uh-huh. And then there's, what was it? I just saw it. I was like, oh, the live-action Snow White.
What?
Yeah.
No. Not excited
That's
going to
be interesting. I'm not. Also Beetlejuice, too. I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm curious.
They do be
I'm
making...
I'm inquisitive.
...sequels to stuff that don't necessarily need them.
Yeah, they're just bringing back because everyone loved Beetlejuice.
Last year.
Well, that's
also they were like
been.
Jenna Ortega.
She needs to be in everything apparently.
Dude, literally, they
now
always get upset with one
20s.
Young actress who's good. Like Millie Bobby Brown, she was in everything, and she died out. Jenna Ortega in everything, and then right now it's Mia Goth in everything, and then she's gonna die out. It happens every single time. When will it be my turn? Maybe this all stems from jealous.
You'll be next.
I'm rejecting right now. No.
You'll be the next big thing, and then there's going to be a podcast about some other woman complaining about Tatum Bates, Jenna Ortega, Mia Goth.
When does it end?
When will it be me?
When is it my turn? Maybe that's all you need, is you just need a podcast or to yell at the popular people to get your platform
that's
so that
I mean.
You could be popular.
I just want to do horror movies, bro. Damn it! But yeah, I'm very curious to see how a lot of movies this year turn out, like Joker 2, Beetlejuice 2. Like, there's all these movies that I'm like...
We have to see.
I do, yeah. Because I don't know what my opinion's going to be on it. It's either going to be amazing or terrible. There's no in-between. My thoughts.
I don't know. I think Inside Out 2 is going to be really good. Because she gets a bunch
okay.
more emotions. I don't
oh,
know
yeah.
if you've seen
okay.
the trailer yet.
Yeah.
But, like, this weird little orange-looking dude comes out, and he's like, hi, I'm anxiety. Don't worry, there's more in me. And he just starts unpacking his crap all over, like, her mood
like
brain.
Me.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's me. Hi there. But there's a bunch more. Envy's supposed to be one of them. Boredom's supposed to be one of them. And, like, Envy kind of looks like disgust, and she has green eyes. It's funny, because... Green-eyed monster. That movie.
I've seen all the memes from it.
I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited. That's one of the only times that I've seen a sequel and been like, off the bat, I think I'd watch that. I think it might actually not be terrible.
Disney will redeem itself.
They better, because if they ruin Inside Out, I will quit Disney.
Inside Out was a sleeper hit.
It's.
I don't think anybody.
It makes me cry.
Called If coming out with. I think it's John Krasinski. It's another
John
Disney
Krasinski.
Movie. And then there's also Wizards, the spinoff of Wizards of Waverly Place coming out. And it follows Justin Russo as he leaves magic behind to pursue a life with his family and children. And then a young wizard apprentice comes to his door and seeks his help.
No, they need to stop trying to revitalize things from my childhood that ended fine.
Don't.
It's
just
touch
like
them,
the iCarly one. And I'm like, it sounds fun, but like it. Like, it just doesn't. Like, it's one of those things where, like, oh, yeah, that sounds good in theory. Like, when you make plans with a certain group of people and you're like, that sounds good in theory. And then it happens and you're like, oh.
I shouldn't have come.
This wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Like, that's what I feel like these. I feel like they're going to try to make one of Drake and Josh.
It's giving the last
Whoa.
Two seasons of
you
The Office.
You can't really
Office.
Have Drake anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're doing Wizards
Josh.
And they just have Justin. Then they don't have Jeanette McCurdy as Sam and iCarly.
Oh.
So they'll probably just follow Josh.
Josh.
It's just Josh. And Josh.
Josh and Josh.
I can see them doing
it. Or they
like
sub
a...
him in, like, 2.5 men, but still
yeah.
Ashton
Charlie
Kutcher.
Sheen's dead.
Ashton Kutcher. Ashton and Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to try it. I don't know. I'm so tired of the spinoffs and the sequels.
Part of me is excited for certain ones. Like, y'all talking about, it reminded me of... It's in production, so I don't even know if it's going to be ready this year, but they're making, a John Wick anime. Like, whoa. The people
the
who
Continental?
Made...
Is it an anime or is it a Continental show on Peacock right now?
I don't know if the show is out. Because it's everything I've heard about it is just like they're in production right now.
Well, the Continental is out. So.
Okay, so this
probably
is
not that.
It's all the only thing we know about it is they're bringing in a lot of the same talent as the movies to make an anime.
Hmm.
And part of I already know that's going to be sick because John Wick is just in live action anime. Like the John Wick movies are just live action anime. So if they actually turn it into anime. What's that gonna be? There's no good anime with guns. I'm insistent on this. Like, very few at least. So if this pops
Cowboy
up.
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, he said it.
But the scenes with the guns aren't really like John Wick style, like level.
So yeah, 2024. We're gonna do it.
I'm going in with high hopes.
Just
not high
to be
expectations.
Better.
High hopes.
Y'all know I'm being evil.
Oh my
You're
god.
Being more evil?
Not
what does that
this
mean?
Again, bro.
More evil.
More sexist.
I've decided that for, everyone's like, I want to try to be better this year. I want to try to improve myself. I'm like, I'm going to be the worst version of me for 1 year.
Oh, so you're copying my resolution last year, huh?
Remember
what my resolution last year was?
I actually took this from a friend of mine who did this the year after the pandemic, where it was Logie's Evil New Year.
Oh, okay.
So
how evil did he get, though?
Sinister. He so that you understand, he's a psychology major, and he decided to use those concepts to f*** with people.
That's kind of funny, though.
Yeah. So
like chaotic, what? Not law. Well, not chaotic evil. Maybe chaotic evil.
There was this one day he gave me an insane amount of anxiety because I didn't have money to pay for something, so I was gonna run to my car and grab my wallet. And he's like, don't worry, I got you. And I was like, sweet, I'll pay you back. And he's like, no, you don't have to worry about it. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna pay you back in some way. And he's like, I'm not gonna let you. And then him saying that, it's stuck in my head because he knows me.
Really?
He knows me. It's stuck in my head. And I was like, I gotta do something for him. But what do I do?
You've never had someone say that to you?
And then anytime throughout the year that I would give him something to pay him back or offer to pay him back in a certain type of way, every single time, he's like, no. And I just had this anxiety building where it's like, I feel like I'm taking advantage of our friendship, and he knew what he was doing, too.
Do you think he is experimenting on you?
That's really funny.
This is his science project.
He has a little
project.
Journal.
Yeah,
thesis.
I'm
how
just
to
his
drive
master
a
thesis.
Man insane.
Probably. So yeah, that was his. So he had an evil New Year like that. And I was like, I'm going to have an evil New Year, but my version of it is I'm just going to f*** with a lot of people. Maybe burn a few bridges.
I'm just gonna try to. I had a really good year last year. I'm not even gonna cap. Like, it was terrible in some ways, but career wise, it was really good. So I'm like, I'm gonna try to top that. I'm just gonna be wild.
This is gonna be strange, but I don't really mess with years that are even numbers. Best years of my life were odd numbers.
Okay.
Pandemic did hit in 2020.
Mm-hmm. 2022 wasn't a good year for me. Mm-hmm. 2019, 2021, and 2023
but
were phenomenal.
But you can change that.
Make 2024 your year, Joe.
I'm just gonna try to vibe, and I'm not trying to do anything too.
He's just
too
waiting
much.
For 2025.
I'm playing the long game.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited for 2024. 2023 was kind of the worst year of my entire life up till this point, so I'm just. Anything better than that is a win. I'm trying to try new stuff this year. I'm actually going to be in the ensemble cast of Rent next year.
Cool.
Which
whoa.
I'm very excited about. I've never been able to do musical theater before.
Wait, where?
It's going to be at The Bell.
Oh, The Bell. I watch shows at The Bell. Okay.
Yeah, no. So I'm very excited for that. This is just going to be a year of new things, broadening, and just better.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
What about you, Jared?
2023 was a pretty darn good year for me. I got exposed to a lot of new things that have really, it really left a big impact on me. Like, for example, Batman the Animated Series, and of course the Arkham games, because I played through all those within the past few months. I finally got Final Fantasy VII Remake I platinumed that and the DLC, the Yuffie side story, and I cannot wait for Rebirth that's coming out next month. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the near future and a lot, and just like a teaser for the rest of the month, and I guess next month too. A lot of big stuff happening in terms of the show. So even things that you guys don't know about. So, you know, be on the lookout.
Whoa.
So just, you know, little exciting, little, you know, new bonus stuff. So.
Joke's on you. I know not.
Left sock, right sock moment.
I don't get it. I just looked at my feet and was like, what about my socks?
All right, that's all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode here on Razzle Dazzle. Make sure to let us know what you think of today's episode somewhere on the internet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Razzle Dazzle Show and on TikTok at Razzle_Dazzle_Show. Make sure to tune in every Thursday on the Live 365 app Eagle Radio Station, where we are live. Catch you on the next one.